The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day is the account of the Transfiguration as it comes to us in the book of Luke, the 9th chapter, where it says, "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." Indeed, today in our Gospel text, Peter, John, and James, not to mention Elijah and Moses, are treated to a spectacular display. Yes, upon that Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus shined with all his glory, his face aglow. And we are not left to imagine the immediate effect that had on those disciples. We are told they were so afraid and amazed that they started to say things that really didn't even make sense on the whole. But consider also the lasting effect of beholding that vision of the transfiguration of our Lord. Indeed, it was a vision that no doubt was burned into their memory. It was a vision glorious that they would not soon forget. It was something that strengthened their faith as they continued to walk with their Lord in those days after the transfiguration. It indeed was an image that probably perplexed them as they looked at their Lord Jesus hanging upon a cross, looking so powerless. And it was a vision that indeed emboldened their witness in the world after they beheld the resurrection and the ascension. Yes, indeed, the transfiguration, in light especially of the resurrection, is no doubt probably the most powerful event in Jesus' life, which showed to the disciples exactly who Jesus was. That he was the only Son of God, come down to this earth to save humanity from their sin. Yes, it was an epiphany, an awakening in the truest sense of the word for those that beheld it. So what about you and me? Today, as we gather to celebrate the Transfiguration, Moses is not here. I don't think Elijah is going to show up either. And quite frankly, Jesus himself is not here in the flesh. Although we could use the warmth of a glowing Jesus this morning, he probably will not show up and display himself before you in all of his glory. We don't even have the technology here to try to simulate what it might have been like that day to stand in the glory of God. So where is our transfiguration? What is the event in our life that shows to us exactly who Jesus is and what he has come to do? Granted, we're not the apostles, but it sure seems like we could use a revelation of Jesus' glory as well to strengthen us for the task that he does call us to do. We too need an epiphany, an awakening, to strengthen our faith and embolden our witness to this world in word and deed. So what is our transfiguration? What is it in our lives that reveals to us who Jesus truly is? How is it that God convinces us that Jesus is his only Son, come down to earth to save humanity? Well, I would contend this morning that our transfiguration occurs each time that we are engaged by the Word of God. After all, is that not where we learn who Jesus truly is? Is that not where we see him as he is and learn what he came to do? Indeed, every time the Word engages us, we get to see the glory of Lord Jesus even more clearly. Each time we are here in worship, the glow of faith gets a little brighter. Each time we study His Word in Bible study, His glory shines into our hearts. Each time we read and meditate upon His Word in our home, we grow in our knowledge of who Jesus truly is. Yes, each time we come into contact with the Word, we have an epiphany, an awakening, as the Spirit of God, through that Word, enlightens our hearts with its truth. And yet all too often we treat these times with something far less than the kind of amazement or astonishment that could cause us to actually be confused a little, to lose track of even the words that are leaving our mouths. We come into God's house and leave, and a few hours later can't even remember exactly what happened then. We sit through Bible class without truly being stopping to be astonished by the God that is revealed to us there. We open our Bibles in our home, and yet we find that our tired eyes are a more powerful force than our desire to be with our Lord who is revealed in Scripture. Or even worse, sometimes we miss these chances for enlightenment altogether. Sometimes we do climb the mountain, but then fall asleep, much like those first apostles did. Our Saturday nights steal our energy for Sunday morning. Our worrisome minds rob us of the focus we need to do true Bible study. The distractions of our homes make our times of devotion less than optimal. And then there are the other times, when we don't even climb the mountain at all. We miss church in order to attend a gathering or travel to the game. We don't come to Bible class in order that we might catch up on our sleep, or because we don't think we need that extra time of revelation with our God. We leave our Bibles closed in our homes because we are so concerned with getting that extra work done around the house or in the shop, or because we want to make sure that we see our favorite show. And all along we are missing the transfiguration experiences that God has set apart to give to us. We miss those times in which God wants to enlighten our hearts with the knowledge of His Son. We miss the very ways in which Jesus is made clear to us. And why does that matter on the whole? Well, it matters because if we go into the world with our knowledge of Jesus simply being sort of a dim understanding, we indeed will be in trouble. Without the image of the transfigured Christ burned also into our memory, we indeed will find ourselves exhausted and tired and in despair. Yes, we too need those moments that will not quickly be forgotten in our minds. And so today again, I set before you the blessings of being in the Word, in church, in Bible class, and in your home. I'm not trying today to guilt you into coming to church every week or to being in Bible class. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about how you practice your faith in your home. What I want to do is remind you of the blessing that is awaiting you, the blessing that you are missing when you simply don't get those things done. Yes, I am suggesting today that in those times you are missing the very way in which God wishes to make clear to you who Jesus is and why that matters in your life. He wants to make clear to you that when you have sinned, Jesus is there waiting to forgive. He wants to make clear to you that when you have nothing left to give, Jesus is the source of your strength to do all things through Him. He wants you to know that when you are struggling with a particular sin, Jesus is the conqueror of sin who dwells inside of you. Yes, a dim understanding of who Jesus is leads to a life that is still scarred with guilt. It leads to a life that is filled with despair instead of hope. It leads to a life settling. Settling for much less than what Jesus wants to give. So today and each day of your life, climb to the mountain. Behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and exclaim to Jesus how good it is to be there. How blessed it is to be in His house where His word is proclaimed. How wonderful it is to learn more of Him in Bible class. How joyous it is to spend quiet time with Him in our homes. Oh, you won't be able to stay on those mountains forever. Your life will call. Your work will come calling. A friend will need your help. But as you descend back down to the valleys and to the plains off that mountain, you will have burned into your memory an image of the transfigured Lord, able to help you in all circumstances. Yes, that image will indeed sustain you and will strengthen you for whatever you find in the plains and the valleys of life. Yes, you will have burned into your mind not only a glorious Jesus that shines like the sun, but you also have burned into your mind a dying Jesus who died there on the cross for all of your sins. And you will have burned into your mind a Jesus that rises to assure you of your own resurrection. And you will know clearly that Jesus is indeed the only begotten Son of God, come down to this earth to save us. Yes, that is what the Word of God reveals to us when we are engaged by it. That is the truth that enlightens our hearts, as our epistle lesson says, to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Yes, each time that we have an opportunity to be engaged by the Word of God, whether here or in our homes, Jesus is there transfigured before us. He is there shining like the sun. He is there as the only Son of God come to save humanity. And when we are there on the mountain, what else can we say but 'tis good Lord to be here. Amen. Hereby is correct. Then may God indeed regularly engage us with His Word, that we might know Jesus as He is. We pray it in His name. Amen.